Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. On The Grow Show, we share ideas, tips, tactics, and insights to help you grow your landscaping business based on our team's 40 years of experience running a landscaping company and working with other owners to do the same. This week, we have a special episode recorded live from the Steel booth at the 2024 Equip Expo. Enjoy this replay from the panel discussion led by Marty Grunder on battery-powered equipment.
And here in the Steel booth, we're going to get our second of our two panels going on the questions and considerations when transitioning from gas to battery equipment. We've had a great time here, lots of opportunities to see the new tools that are available. I was telling folks earlier that we celebrated our 50th anniversary of manufacturing in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and Dr. Steel of the Steel family, third generation of family ownership, came, and as we said, no pressure there when the guy whose name is on the side of the building shows up. And anyway, we spit the place up, but it was nice to hear from the family again to reiterate the fact that we are customer focused. And he said again, whether it's gas or battery, doesn't matter. What do our customers want? What do our customers need? That's what we're going to provide. At the same time, we do know that whether it's regulatory pressures, environmental pressures, or frankly, just your customers asking for it, we know that you have to start considering battery equipment. But when you're getting into it, there are a lot of unknowns. Runtime, number of batteries, what's the cost, what's the ROI? We were just talking about that. Is it justifiable? What about my crew? What do they need to know? Yeah. What about my shop? What about my infrastructure? There's a lot of questions, and that's what we're hoping that we can at least start to address. We don't have all the answers, but at the same time, we hope we can help you ask better questions. Joining us here, we have an august presence of expert panelists, but I'd like to introduce our moderator first, and that is Mr. Marty Grunder. Marty actually started his landscape company with a mower straight out of college or during college, and from that grew one of the most successful landscape businesses in the Midwest. But Marty didn't stop there. He has a sincere desire to help others. And so he started the Grow Group, which is a counseling, consulting, and coaching service. And through the years, he's coached and helped 10,000 businesses grow. And at his Grow Group event, annually, we see hundreds and hundreds of landscapers come together to learn and get better. He's a best-selling author. He is a speaker. He is a columnist for Landscape Management, and frankly, just a great guy. So I'd like to introduce our moderator for the day, Mr. Marty Grunder. Marty?
Thank you, Roger. I didn't know I was going to get all that. Could you call my wife and all those things, please?
A jack of all trades.
Yeah, exactly. Really excited to be here with you today. This is exciting. When you look at the amount of people that are walking around here at this event, our industry is alive and well, is it not? And it's amazing. You know, Roger mentioned that I started with a lawnmower. It was a $25 lawnmower I bought at a garage sale, and it was not a battery-operated one, battery-powered one. So kind of shows you how things stay the same, but things change. And Charles Kettering, a great inventor and industrial entrepreneur from Dayton, Ohio, where I'm from, he said, the only thing constant in life is change. So I have found in my own business and in the many businesses that I've worked with, you got to embrace change. You know, if you got a problem with your heart, you don't want to go to the doctor using methods from 1970. You want them using methods from 2025, right? So we're going forward. So this conversation here today is about the battery, you know, managing these battery tools and what they're all about. We've got three great people with us. We have Chase, Brandon, and Mike. And I'm going to ask each of them a question. When I ask them a question, they're going to introduce themselves a little bit so you know who we're dealing with. So the first question for Brandon. Brandon, we've talked a lot about this a while. It's one of the coolest things. I met Brandon online. We did a couple events together. He's really helped me with my outlook towards battery equipment. He's a really smart guy. So, Brandon, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name is Brandon Haley. I'm the Vice President of Grounds for SSC Services for Education. We provide facilities management for college and K-12 campuses nationwide. And we have portfolios from coast to coast.
So they do a lot of work with schools, at universities, other kinds of facilities like that, where the demand for battery-operated equipment is requested because of the noise.
Correct.
So we're talking about somebody that's one of the foremost experts on implementing this in your fleet. What are the best practices for implementing the battery-powered tools into your fleet?
So anytime I look at transitioning a fleet over to electric, think back to simple change management. Get a small win. If you start off trying to go full force, force the issue, and any one thing goes wrong, you're done. People are going to shut down. Mm-hmm. They're going to give up.
Right.
I always like to start with hedge clippers. That's for hands down my favorite tool. They're lighter. The batteries last forever. So you're going to put the kind of put the rest some of these issues on, well, how long is the battery going to last and all that. After they're using a pair of hedge clippers for 2 hours on the same battery, you're not going to hear that again. After that, though, you need to start putting in proper SOPs to make sure that you're charging things right, you're storing them right. I know we'll talk more on some of that later, but you got to set yourself up to not have the preventable failures that you can already see. You know, make sure they know how to access batteries in the morning, make sure that they remember to charge them mm-hmm. at the end of the day, those kind of things.
Those kinds of things. So Chase Stetson to my left here. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Chase.
Yeah, so I'm from here in Louisville, Kentucky, so this is pretty much my backyard. So welcome nice. To town, everybody. And I was pretty much like born into lawn care. We have my dad down here below, Mike. So he pretty much taught me everything I know. He's had a lawn care business since 1988, which was before I was born. So as a kid growing up, I worked in the business my whole life, was always around it. And then, you know, as a teenager, working in the summer times, and then went off to college, to University of Louisville here in town, got a marketing degree, and then came back into the family business to help grow it, and then started making content 5 or 6 years ago and created That Lawn Dude, and it kind of exploded, and here we are.
Yeah, so we're talking, how many followers you have on Instagram?
Instagram, 710,000 or so, but across everything, I think it's 3 million.
Yeah,
over,
so I think you should be moderating the discussion, not me.
I don't know about all that.
What are some of the factors that have gone in your small business for selecting battery-operated equipment? Talk to us about your journey.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with landscaping and lawn care tools, you got to have the right tool for the right job. So, you know, we got to see what we're doing. So, example, for trimming some bushes, we want to grab that HLA 135K and have that ready because it's so quiet. So we have a school that we take care of, and during working hours, they don't like the noise. So that is perfect for that job because you're by these classrooms. They don't want the kids being distracted looking out the window. So making sure you have the right tools and the right amount of batteries that you will need throughout the day, because the last thing that you want to do is be stuck without power.
Right.
So, you know, unlike, you know, like gasoline, you can just fill it up with the gas can, but having the right amount of batteries for the right job is extremely important.
At your company, do you market the fact that you use that equipment? You're obviously a salesman. You've got some showmanship to you.
Yeah.
How do you use the fact that you have that equipment? Have you been able to use that to your advantage?
So we haven't tapped into that yet, but obviously moving forward with the thing that the way things are going, I think it's a great selling point to tell people that you're using battery technology.
Yeah.
One, because, you know, it leaves a smaller footprint. And then two, people like that it's quiet. So it has some other benefits to it as well.
Right, exactly.
So that's another selling point. You could, you know, tap into a whole new market by saying that you are the green
yes,
friendly.
Exactly. So. Right. Good marketing attribute. One of my favorite parts of my job are the people that I get to meet and the places I get to go. And I've been fortunate enough to be into your factory a couple times, Mike. It's amazing. There can't be a cleaner, more robust, well-run factory in the United States than what I've seen. I mean, you could eat off the floor. That's the truth.
True statement.
It is. So Mike Puka from Steel. Mike, why don't you talk a little bit about what you do there?
Sure. Thanks, Marty. And thanks for having me back. It's
sure.
always great to be with
Good
you.
Good to be with you.
A little bit about myself. I've been with Steel for 12 years. I'm a senior manager responsible for commercial and strategic accounts. So what does that mean? Large landscape businesses like yourself, I'm in this position to serve you all, making sure you not only have the right products in place for your business, but also the right sales programs. You know, as we talk later today and, you know, taking this transition, we're here to help. We sincerely mean that. After this panel, feel free, introduce yourselves, come talk to me, and let's make sure that we're supporting you all through this transition. Prior to the sales role, I was in product management, so I'm a product guy at heart and glad to be here.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mike. Glad you're here. Brandon indicated working around schools and universities. Chase is into the stuff. He even knows the model numbers and everything. So you're talking about a really passionate guy. You're back at the factory. You're dealing with a lot of challenges that contractors have. So you've got multiple pieces of equipment over multiple job sites over an 8 or 10 hour day. What is the definitive answer on managing all those batteries? Like, what are you seeing? What's the best practice for that and the setups and so forth? Share with us your wisdom there.
So managing batteries, you know, this is, you know, as Brandon hinted, I mean, there's a learning curve here, and proper use and care, just like on the gas equipment, is true here for the battery themselves. Another thing to consider is how to charge these batteries. And what we're showcasing here in our booth in this far corner to the left is our Pro Power Hub solution. This will allow you to charge up to 48 batteries in total. And in an overnight period, you could charge up to 30 batteries. So this is a plug and play solution designed for landscapers switching to battery, where they have a lot of batteries to manage and charge overnight.
So, and it looks to be pretty simple. It's amazing how far this has come from when we were here a couple years ago and where we are now. To bring it back to a realistic perspective, small business owner Chase, how are you managing your batteries? How are you dealing with that? Talk to us about the men. Like, are they dealing with it? Men and women, are they dealing with it?
Right.
Talk to us about your experience there.
I think the important thing is, you know, in the garage, you want to have everything organized and have it separate from where your gas stuff is stored compared to where your electric stuff is stored. So for us, in our garage, in the one side, we have the electric section, and then the other side is where our gas is at. So, you know, we have the electric side where we have the charging side where, you know, everything that when we use in the field, the batteries are half dead or fully dead. We put them over by the charging section. Then once they're fully charged, place them to another area where they're ready to go out in the field. So next time that they need to be used, they're ready to go. So keeping them separate and have a systematic way of keeping things organized is extremely important.
And then what about when you go out on the job site? How many are in your truck or your van or your trailer? How are you dealing with that?
Yeah, so, I mean, for me personally, I'm still taking partially gas stuff and I'm still taking electric stuff. So I keep my batteries inside the cab of the truck so they're ready to go, and then have my electric stuff stored on the racks. And then sometimes the other crews, they'll have the gasoline stuff. So we still keep it separate, but, you know, it's the best of both worlds, being able to use them, you know, together.
Brandon, you're nodding in affirmation. Why don't you give your insight? Because I know you have some experience with this. Chime in.
So we do a lot of what you do. A key for us is for our teams, they each have their own charging area. So that way it's their batteries, they're marked. Also helps us for asset tracking. But that way we can keep people separated in the morning. The last thing I want are 15 people running to one spot, grabbing as many batteries as they can and running back. Bad things can happen when that goes on. So everyone has their own area. They can load their own batteries into totes, which they can load into trucks for our truck sites. Most of our sites are site-based, so they're going into gators or, you know, some sort of small UTV. Now, we like to use mobile charging solutions. So we'll use battery inverters that help me get just that little bit further. So we'll swap out again at lunch, and then I'll have an inverter that we can use during the day to keep some of them going. And that way we can cut down on the amount of batteries just by a few.
See, I think that's the next step for us. We don't have a mobile charging station quite yet. So usually I have to bring the batteries fully charged from the garage.
Right.
So that, I think that's like the next step, is to be able to charge it while you're out in the field.
So you mentioned a concern. And Mike, how much are those batteries?
At retail?
Yeah.
$349.
Yeah. And I know you got some kind of, why don't you talk about your deal right now on the batteries?
Yeah, so we would like to invite you all, you know, after this panel discussion, as you're interested in learning more about battery, we have technical sales specialists. They're Steel employees that will come meet with you on site. They'll consult with you directly, figure out your business, what you're using currently in terms of gas, what may make sense for battery, and they'll leave you with the equipment. You know, this is no cost to you all. You can just scan this QR code, we'll collect your contact information, and once this demo is completed, you'll actually walk away with a free battery.
Nice.
So I'd like to invite you to that.
Yeah, and so that was a good segue there, but you said something that, like, is going on with me right now. You're talking asset tracking.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about a lot of money here. How are you keeping that stuff straight?
So I'll be perfectly honest, that's one of my goals at the show this year. I'm really liking some of the small trackers, I mean, like AirTag type size. You know, I'm really thinking there's going to be something like that, because the problem with most trackers that are built in, they'll grab information, but it's only when it comes back to the shop or something. I need to know if it fell off a truck or, you know, got left somewhere or whatever, because that happens. I remember years ago, I left a hedge pruner sitting in the driveway of an account that I was at and just drove off. Thankfully, it was there, you know, a couple hours later. Batteries you'll never find again. So
right.
That's our next big thing to figure out.
And if I can add to
Go, Mike.
You know, so Steel, we have a feature called Steel Connected. Okay, and what is that? That's a tracking mechanism as we're describing this issue. In the batteries in particular, this connected function is built into the batteries. So the benefit to you all, you know, as large users, this will track where that equipment is at.
Wow.
What crew is it assigned to? Last known location. And, you know, Brandon made a comment earlier, when you're looking to transition, starting with something like a hedge trimmer is a logical step forward. And in this connected function, it will also read out to you how long has that battery ran throughout the day.
Wow.
So it'll allow you to better understand how many batteries you may need to get through the working day.
We need to talk after.
I think Brandon likes that. Mike, let's go to you in terms of the key performance indicators to track evaluating the efficiency of the battery, because some of this stuff is fascinating.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll point to the power and performance. I mean, time is money to you all. You work very efficiently with gas equipment. It's critical for steel products when we bring them to market that they're on par in terms of power and performance with no compromise, so that you all can work just as efficiently, if not better, with battery equipment. So along those lines, if you have time this week, we have an outdoor demo, the gas product against the battery product. And you can see for yourselves how these products perform. In addition, this QR code that I pointed out earlier, if you want to have the equipment for a longer period of time, please sign up for that.
Well, and I was outside a couple hours ago. It looks like you have a demo out there with that equipment, correct?
That's right.
So you can, you know, I would encourage you to go get it in your hands. The battery stuff is surprisingly durable. It's very friendly. It's good stuff.
And along those same lines, you know, the Pro battery products from Steel, you'll see they use the same cutting components as seen on the gas-powered equipment. So those are proven components. You know, Steel, we bring nearly 100-year history to the market. We have a lot of knowledge in our development, and we're incorporating all of that into the design of the battery products.
What about the weight and some of the ergonomic concerns? Because I know we have women that are on our crews.
Sure.
They like the battery equipment, especially the hedge trimmers, where they're lighter. I think it's the GTA 26, the hand saw.
The pruner,
if you all haven't seen that, I carry one in my truck because, you know, you'll come up on a job and a branch is down in the yard.
Sure.
It'll probably handle up to about a 4-inch branch, maybe a little bit bigger.
It has a 4-inch guide bar.
Yeah, so just a super handy thing. I want to say it's like $149.
Great Christmas presents.
They do. I got mine for Father's Day. But you guys were out of them for a long time, so somehow, I don't know if my wife called Roger or what, but I got one for Father's Day. Talk a little bit about the weight and the ergonomics of that and why some of that might be something to look at for your crew as well.
Exactly. And I can tell you, coming from the product management experience I've had with the company, ergonomics are at the center of the development. You know, we're looking to you all, the user. We want to bring out solutions that are ergonomic and friendly to use. You know, pick up some of these products. All these products throughout the booth, they have the batteries installed in them. You can really feel the weight. Pick up the gas counterpart, feel the differences. And again, you know, run the products this week outside, and I think you'll be convinced.
Yeah, and I know we have a lady that works on our crew. I didn't realize she was 64 years old until earlier in the year.
Wow.
She doesn't look 64, and she sure as heck doesn't work like she's 64. And she made a comment to me, if you keep giving me that lightweight battery equipment, I'm going to be able to work till I'm 84. So it's nice stuff. You don't have the gas residue all over you. And, you know, look, how many of you are struggling to find and keep people? I'm not going to be foolish enough to tell you that if you switch to this, you're all of a sudden going to have everybody lined up to work for you. But it's one of those things. It's sort of like an act of caring that you're demonstrating towards your team, putting them in a situation where they're more comfortable with the equipment. And I think certainly, you know, you made the comment, I learned this from you about the implementation. We've had other companies that have asked, come to Grunder Landscaping, and I've told them, get the hedge shears. And I agree, because they're up to full power right on the trigger.
Yeah.
And I may be wrong, Mike, so correct me, but I think different from the gas shears,
you actually have to have two hands on the battery-operated equipped shears, right?
That's right. All the products are designed with safety in mind.
Yes, exactly. Everything is. So it's a great product for that. Any other comments on the equipment or any other, like, Are you finding that that makes it easier to find people?
I mean, aside from that, I think just being that it's getting colder out, you know, you get the gas equipment, it's hard to start sometimes in the morning. You got to pull it 10, 15 times, but the benefit of having this electric stuff is you're just ready to go, you know, push to start essentially. So it just saves you that much time from the start up to start down, so.
So since we have you, Chase, how are you optimizing the use of multi-tool battery systems in your daily operations? What are you doing with that?
I think the battery optimization is so important because you want to be able to use one battery for multiple tools, right? So you use the string trimmer and then you pop that battery out. You want to use the hedge trimmer and then you pop that out. You might want to use the blower. So being able to use the same battery, for me, it's the AP line, the AP500. Being able to transfer that from one tool to another is just so nice and convenient.
Brandon, what's your experience been with that?
So while we do have a couple brands that we use across our fleet, we do not mix at any site.
Okay.
So if there's not one line of tools that suits everything we need, I will never consider it. We like to have multiple size batteries. Going back to the weight comment, you know, as you get a larger, more capacity battery, there is weight that comes along with it. For something like the hedge pruners, where they last forever, we'll go with the 200 series battery, save a couple pounds, make it even lighter. They still last longer than a gas tank. You know, no one's going to be out there working 2 hours in a row without taking a break. We got to get a drink of water or something at some point. So that's another way to knock down a few pounds when we can. But it's just making sure you have one system that you can swap back and forth. Why I like the new combi tools with using the same end, you know, the same production end. I could switch them back and forth. I don't have to have a separate set for my battery as I do gas. You can't beat it.
And then what about, so like I know at my house, I'm not exactly sure what my crews are doing. We have the one pruning crew that has the battery equipment with the chargers in the truck. They have enough batteries. They're charged at night. But I know like at home when I'm switching, it seems like it doesn't take that long for that battery to charge. What are you doing there? Are you, you know, if you're small and you have, I mean, you're pruning Mrs. Jones's shrubs, can you plug the charger into her wall? And how long does that take to charge?
Yeah. So, Steele, I mean, we have a range of charging solutions. You can charge overnight. You can charge during the day. Of course, if you're charging overnight, to your point, Marty, I mean, you don't need a fast turnaround time.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can essentially trickle charge it. That offers longer life to the battery itself.
I see.
You know, you come back the next morning, your batteries are charged. Now, on the flip side, if you need a fast charging solution, we, of course, have faster chargers available. Depending on the battery, you know, if it's a small capacity battery like an AP200 that you mentioned or an AP500S, there's a range of time.
Okay. What does the factory say on the best practice for, like, what's the best setup? What would you do if you were advising a contractor to get started with it? What would you advise them to do?
I would say match the setup to the needs of your business. And that's really where our technical sales specialists can help.
Can help them.
Everybody's different. You know,
yeah.
There's not a cookie cutter solution to this. You can adapt it to your business needs.
Yeah. And so then what Brandon and Chase are saying, get the same kind of battery. Now, like the little GTA 26, that's got a separate kind of little battery in it. But for the most part, stick with that. Have one kind. It probably seems to make a lot of sense in terms of scaling.
Yeah, exactly right. And still, you know, over the years, we've developed this AP platform. We now have over 60 tools on that AP battery.
Okay. Brandon, I know I've learned so much from you, things I didn't even know to consider. The one time we were online, we were doing a Zoom interview, and we were talking about, you know, I did not realize that, you know, when you full throttle the blower, you're taking the battery down. I mean, duh, I guess I should know that. So there was a lot of power management discussions that we had with you. Can you share your expertise on that, please?
Sure. So we have a few campuses, college campuses, that we've taken 100% electric. We'll have a couple gas tools that we've never put fuel in just in case of a power failure hurricane, you know, something where you just need to, but otherwise we're all electric. One of the first places we did that with, I'll be honest, it came close to full failure. We were running out of battery power by 10 o'clock in the morning. The crew was hating it. The client wasn't happy. And they called me in to go take a look. And that was the first thing I noticed. They're blowing leaves off of a curb just into the grass so we can cut it up. This is, leaf here, leaf there. Well, they're walking down the entire curb line on turbo mode with the blower. Well, they're burning through batteries left and right. Well, since they're falling, they feel like they're falling behind, they pop the battery out, throw it in the back of the gate, or put a new one in, keep going. No one put a new one on a charger. By 10 o'clock, we were out of power. Mm-hmm. Now they're running back to the shop, back and forth, trying to plug one in. I mean, it was an utter failure. Simple changes. We got a mobile charging solution. I like to short cycle the first battery. So we may use it halfway so I can get it back on a charger. So the more batteries I can have charging at any one time, the faster I can turn around. And then make sure you're matching your power usage with your need. Mm-hmm. If you're trimming grass around a light pole, and use the throttle lock, go half speed. If you're in a ditch or brush, full power, turbo mode. You'll find the batteries can last 2-3 times as long. I mean, I've even seen things where people are just walking to the next spot, going full throttle or playing with it. Don't use your power. And we were able to turn that campus around within 2 weeks. We ended up buying, I believe, 2 more batteries, so nothing crazy. And they were able to go all day in leaf season and completely fix the problem, and we kept them electric.
So it's like anything else. It requires some practice and some training. I know that when we have groups in to see us at Grunder Landscaping, we've told them, I introduced one of our team leaders and I said, this is Mike. And Mike does a lot of specific training for us. Mike is known as the blower guru. And they laughed. And the guy came up to me afterwards. He's like, what do you mean blower guru? I said, that guy knows how to use a backpack blower like you wouldn't believe. And he laughs and he says, what do you mean a backpack blower? Well, I've come to realize that there is some expertise involved in that. And a guy that's been running a backpack blower for me for 31 years tends to know, have some tricks up his sleeve about where to start with the blower, how to run it, so on and so forth. He is the guy that has our battery operated equipment. Okay. So you can't cowboy it. There has to be some skill involved with it, like everything else, right?
Yeah, and you have to be open, because the first method you're going to try probably is not going to work. That's okay. Our best standard practice at Campus A ends up not being our practice at Campus B.
Trial and error.
Right, but you got to have a starting spot, and you'll learn each time and make it better.
Chase, have you had troubles with the batteries run out, or has there been some training you've done to make the day go smoother?
So, like I said earlier, I still take gas and electric at the same time, so my favorite tool I like to use is that hedge trimmer, so that hasn't had an issue with it just because how long that lasts. And I guess it doesn't use as much power as a string trimmer would. But with the string trimmer, I bring enough batteries to where I won't run out. So I kind of plan ahead and plan accordingly that way. So I don't have an issue with that.
Okay. This morning we were talking about some of the issues that if you go into this on a grand scale, you may have to change the electrical service into your building for power. There was also some comments made about temperature. Are there any issues with hot trailers in the batteries or cold trailers in the batteries?
So we run a lot of accounts in Texas, and it's hot there.
Yeah.
The biggest issue that we find is being able to let them cool down to start charging them again.
I see.
So what I've found is if we run one extra battery, that allows us to give a little more time for that one to cool down. And so there's always one waiting to be plugged in, and we're okay. But otherwise, you may have to wait a little bit to be able to actually cool it, or else the charger won't let it go. I mean, it's a built-in safety feature. It's great, but it will affect you.
Okay.
And it really comes down to proper use and care. I mean, we touched on it earlier, learning this new technology and how to handle it. I think, Brandon, you summed it up quite well.
Yes, good. Roger, I know we have time for questions. Roger has a microphone. So does someone have a question we can help you with here?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody got a question?
I had a question about life cycle management of batteries when they reach their end of life. Is anybody like Steel or any of your competitors like saying, send those back to us, we harvest the parts, and then, because that's kind of a thing that's concerning to me, is like, okay, I'm throwing.
There's a great program.
Yeah, it's a great question. You want me to speak
to
that a little
ahead,
bit?
Yeah.
Okay, so, Steel, we're a responsible manufacturer, first and foremost. So what we do when we're developing these batteries, when we ship a battery to the market, we already pay a commission to pay for its end of service life, and it's recycled in a responsible way. And that's done through our servicing dealer network, so end customers like yourselves go right to your servicing dealer and they will take proper care of it.
So when you're done, the dealer has a network. It'll show you the location. And
called a recycle.
It gets recycled.
So. And, you know, I'll just kind of say one other thing with that. So, you know, steel batteries, they have a very long service life. I think, Brandon, you and I were talking before the panel, and you have a battery from how many years ago?
I think 2013, one of the original.
I know we have some that are 7 years old.
Yeah, I think I've had hundreds of batteries. I've had three fail at this point. That's just, at one point, I'm sure they're all going to go. But for now, you know, that's just not been a concern for us.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, Mike. You know, when we were talking about things like battery life, we're actually, there's two different things. One is the runtime of the battery, and then one is the overall lifespan of the battery. And I think we were talking about that when you invest that much money in a battery, the question is, how long can I expect it to life? Can you address like things like charge cycles and things like that? What does that mean?
Yeah, so, you know, we have many batteries in our range. The battery types, they're using the cylindrical cells. After 1,200 charge cycles, so that's taking a battery from completely charged to completely drained, there's about 80% capacity remaining. So the battery's still good, but you've lost about 20% after 1,200 charge cycles. On our AP500S, that's using a power laminate cell, a different type of cell technology. One of the benefits to that is extended service life. So after 2,500 cycles, you have about 80% left.
Wow.
Anybody else have a question? Anybody else?
Other questions?
Brandon, mine's specifically for you. At our peak, we had about 128 batteries in use. You mentioned marking for your crews. How did you guys, what did you use to mark those individual batteries?
I'd love to say I have a real high class answer, paint pen.
There you go. Do you number them or do you like color code it?
Well, I'm colorblind, so we do not use colors.
Okay, wow.
It picked a great field, right? but no, we just do numbers, you know, crew one through three, 1 through 7, whatever. And quite frankly, that's worked for us.
Nice.
I'll come back to the steel connected technology. That's another mechanism that you can use to help track the equipment, when it was put in the service, which crew, and also help.
Yeah, we really need to talk.
Chase, is there anything that your followers, that you're hearing from them, either pro or con, or, you know, what are you hearing from guys in the field, why they are or aren't using battery?
So you get a lot of mixed reviews. A lot of the guys, being that's blue-collar industry, they are a little bit resistant to battery technology. And I think over time, it's a slow integration. So it's not like one day just going to do a complete shift. It's going to be over time. So you get one piece of tool, use it, get comfortable with it, and then the next year maybe you gather a couple more. So, you know, being that steel has such a head start compared to a lot of other companies who are not getting into it quite yet, that just means, you know, 5-10 years down the line, they're going to have it all together, and then the other guys are going to be left in the dust. So,
yeah, that's good. Any other questions? Because I did have one, and it's interesting, Mike. I mean, as you all are walking around, I'm sure you see voltages and all sorts of numbers that are voltages. And does more voltage mean better power? Or what is it? How do we calculate actual available power for work?
Yeah, so voltage is part of the equation, right? I mean, what it comes down to is the power and performance. There's many aspects that go into batteries. It's voltage, it's amp hours, and then watt hours. So watt hours is really the metric to pay attention to. That's essentially the amount of gas in the gas tank, and that kind of dictates how long the product will run. So pay attention to watt hours, not just voltage, but also the power and performance of the products themselves.
Terrific. Any other questions?
All right. Well, thank you all very much for joining us. As Mike pointed out, please do take advantage. We do have an entire workshop over here dedicated to charging solutions. We'd love to have a conversation with you, help you out with that. These gentlemen will be here. If you have any other questions, go ahead and scan if you'd like to have a visit and get that free battery. But otherwise, thank you very much and enjoy the day.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and head to growgroupinc.com for more information and resources to grow your landscaping business. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose reliable handheld power equipment makes our jobs easier daily. We'll talk to you next week.